on how strong your spirit man is to take him. Look at verse 16 and 17. They are intricately connected. Ephesians 3, verse 16 and 17. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit man in the inner man. And verse 17, that Christ may dwell. Do you know this? That the condition of Christ dwelling in our lives, in our personal lives, the degree of his greater presence in our lives is so much greater than and proportional to the degree of our inner man being strengthened. Which means the more your inner man is strengthened, the more Christ can dwell. And we grow from strength to strength. So that's condition again, under consideration number two. Condition upon our obedience, condition upon our love for him, condition upon the state of your spirit man. We could turn it around and ask this question. What is the condition of your inner man? Now the condition and state of your inner man will be reflected upon all the activities of your inner man. Prayer, worship, and all those things. What is the condition of our spirit man right now, our inner man? Because God dwells in our spirit, depends on our condition of our spirit. And we grow from strength to strength, glory to glory. In this world, people are so absorbed in how their physical body looks. People spend millions. In fact, the industry that takes care of the outward man is in the billions of dollars. People spend billions of dollars dieting, makeup, nutrition, and every way to make their physical body look better. They exercise, they do all kinds of things. Not to say that they are not good. I mean, the Bible did say a little exercise, you know, is a good thing. But not those things does the outward man. But how much more important is the inward man that does not perish? This outward man, no matter how much you care for it, one day is going to put away like an old shirt and then we get a new body. Until then, we are preserved. So hello there, oh you pickled ones. We are preserved. How do you feel, like a preservative? Sadly, some are more like pickled cucumbers, a lot of your pickled zucchini. Oh you pickled ones. Preserve. Sometimes that word is not so nice, right? You're preserved. Thankfully, it's only your outward man. It's preserved, blameless unto his coming. Preserved from sickness, preserved from disease, preserved from sin. And there's a certain amount of renewal. But even Paul admits in 2 Corinthians 3, in chapter 3 and chapter 4, he says the outward man perishes daily, the inward man is renewed daily. So even he recognizes that. But the world spends billions on the outward man. But the church must spend hours and invest in our inner man. The good of our inner man. Because in direct proportion to the strength of your inner man will be the proportion of the presence of God in your life. Don't you complain, oh, God is not as present with me as with the other person. God's grace is not as strong in me as on the other person. Guess what? Go and strengthen your inner man. Then you will have the same thing. So don't complain. So why is the grace of God so abundantly there and his presence there but not here? Go and exercise, you lazy. Sluggard. The Bible, at least a biblical word. Exercise spiritually. You know, just as the world. Have you seen people who are really active exercising? Long ago, when I lived in Malaysia, across from me in one of the suburbs was a man who was not born again. And every morning he does his, what I call, my wife and I call, his devotion. Never fail, except for one day a week, occasionally. Exactly 7 o'clock, takes his pail, goes to his Honda Accord, cleans it. Without fail, every day. I could even set my clock by him. The amusing thing is one fine day, you know, we get out in the morning and we saw his car without the wheels sitting on bricks. The thief had taken all his tires. But that was his devotion, his car. Oh, he loved his car. And my wife, I used to look across the room. He loves his car, doesn't it? My wife looks at me, yeah, I think he loves the car more than his wife too. Because the world hasn't got much to go. If you think about it, knowing all that we know today, we can never go back to the non-Christian life. Because there's nothing to live for. Food, clothing, shelter, things. Not much. Pleasure lasts milliseconds. You can never go back to that life. And then there are people who get up in the morning. You know, anyone has done a morning walk. You know, you go up in the morning when it's still dark and you thought that nobody in the world would be walking at this time and you have this person jogging. Exercising. I say, wow, at 4 a.m., that's not too bad. And sometimes I thought I was extreme because sometimes I work very hard the whole day and whole night and I didn't get to really go out for a walk. So sometimes at 11 or 12 midnight, I go out for a walk and Mozart will be following me along, my little dog. And you thought, nobody in the world goes for a walk at 12 midnight. Not in Canberra winter. I said, I will be one of the strange fellows who go for a walk in the middle of the night or the early morning, walking the dog. And but then suddenly comes this person exercising. I say, wow, that's one guy who's really training. Must be for the Olympics. Only Olympians get that desperate. And they really train hard. And you think about how much the world trains and does pay the price for their physical body that passes away. And then you look around, where are the Christians doing their spiritual exercise? Hey, come on, let's get up and do the spiritual exercise. Some of you say, where are the automatic walkers or the stationary cycles for us? None. The only ones are all night prayer, all day prayer, fasting and prayer. Oh, yes, those are spiritual exercise. Learning to fast and pray. Learning to go without food. Say, oh brother, I can never do it. I got diabetes. Well, go on liquid food then. We can always find some way, some place for you to fast if you really want to fast. Some people say, oh, I'm on a juice fast, juice. And everything is juice. So they get vegetable juice, fruit juice, everything juice. And you know, they might be going too far when they take the piece of steak and juice it. Beef juice. Take the prawn. Prawn juice. Take the lobster. Lobster juice. I will turn around and say, that's a little bit taking it too far. It looks more like a juice feast. And anyway, there are different ways we could discipline our spirit. When your spirit man take control of your body, that's when you fast. Or when you go for all-night prayer sessions, that's when you tell your body wants to sleep, you say, nah, the spirit man is stronger. Flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. And you make the spirit strong too. Or you pray extended sessions. You know, most Christians do not know what it's like to pray 1 hour. when to me 1 hour is the minimum. Have you noticed something about a 1 hour prayer? You know who started it? Jesus of Nazareth. He said, oh yeah? When? He told his disciples, what? Could you not watch with me? 1 hour. Jesus said it, not me. You can check the Bible, unless you rip it out. In your Bible, Jesus says to his disciples, at the most difficult time in his life, in Gethsemane, he went to pray, came back to his disciples, he found them sleeping, and he said to them, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And I always wonder about the 1 hour. Why didn't Jesus say one watch, which is 4 hours? Or why not Jesus say 30 minutes in whatever measurement they had at that time? Half an hour. Why not Jesus say 15 minutes? Or why not follow the modern Christians that say 5 minutes of your time? Jesus said, one solid 60 minute, 1 hour. You could not watch for me. And I always wonder about that 1 hour. And I have found in practical Christian life, it takes an hour to neutralize everything in this natural in your life. You know how if you don't spend much time in prayer, you feel yourself going less spiritual? And you know how, like, when you live this life in this world, there's so many things in this world you could be distracting you, do, you know, entertain, and then all those things. And every day we need to be cleansed from the just being in this world. Just to remain spiritual. It's just that the salmon's swimming upstream. If the salmon doesn't swim, the stream will carry it. Dead salmons go the other way. Live salmons go upstream. And the world has a negative current. By not doing anything, you will automatically be backsliding day by day. Within 1 year, you're gone into the world. All you have to do to backslide is do nothing. You thought doing nothing is alright. No, doing nothing is already backsliding. And my friends, I have found in practical Christian life, it takes 1 hour of time with God to actually equalize the downstream, and you're at least maintaining where you are. It's just like you're a little salmon swimming. The whole current is carrying you down to the sea. Dead salmons go that way, live salmons go up. And if you don't swim upstream, you'll be back downwards the other way. And so if you swim, if the current is going against you, simple mathematics, let's take some current. Current is going against you 30 kilometers per hour. And you're swimming upstream with all your strength. You're panting. Why? Because you're a fat salmon. And you're swimming upstream, but you're swimming upstream at 20 kilometers per hour. Guess what? You'll still be going downstream, except you're going downstream at 10 kilometers per hour. You're dying slowly, just slightly slower than a salmon that doesn't swim. So you pick up speed a bit, whack your tail, flick your fins, and you swim. Finally, you reach 30 kilometers per hour, still going upstream. But guess what? Because the downstream is 30 kilometers per hour, after 1 hour of swimming, you're still where you are. You look, hey, that's the same rock I just went past. 1 hour later, you're still the same rock. You got to go beyond at 30 kilometers per hour. And you go 32 kilometers per hour. At least you're going 2 kilometers per hour upstream. And then you look on your left. Oh, Hudson Taylor still swimming next to you. He's going 40 kilometers per hour. He goes zoom past you. It takes an hour a day with God.